I see a cross on the wall here. That cross is empty. Yes. I see a piece of artwork here that was made by one of the girls or the girls in the Tuesday night girls ministry. It has three crosses. It has a little tomb and a stone. And the tomb is empty. I'm not to say this morning that we have an empty faith or an empty relationship with God. I am here to say this morning that God has taken care of all the necessities and we are free in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I could have also called this message this morning the conundrum after the resurrection. Because for several hours, several days, the disciples were literally at wit's end. They didn't know what to do. They were hiding behind closed doors. Their hope was dashed. They had not yet heard or understood the fulfillment of the resurrection. And so they were afraid. Their leader was gone. Now what to do? They were afraid of the religious community. They were just so afraid. We read in John chapter 20 and verse 19, that evening, at the first day of the week, the disciples were gathering behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be to you," he said. As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see. And they showed him his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. He spoke to them again and said, "Peace be unto you. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." Then he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, they are forgiven. If you refuse to forgive them, they are unforgiven." Linda and I were in Romania, and we drove with a company of people from Bucharest over to about the center of the country at Hatzeg through the Carpathian Mountains. And as we drove along, beautiful rolling hills, beautiful country. I have to tell you, folks, if you think we live in the most beautiful part of the world, you haven't traveled yet. Because it is absolutely gorgeous and wonderful. And the rolling hills and leading up to the mountains and treed. And through the trees, as you neared a village, the first thing you would see was the steeple of the Orthodox Church. The bell tower and then the cross. But the tragedy of that is that the leadership of the country threw their lot behind the communist regime and forsook the church. They turned away from God. They turned away from His grace. And they plugged in to communism. Am I running some competition here? Obviously, they're winning. We'll just wait a minute till this passes over. I think Mommy wants to talk to you, okay? There we go. There we go. Don't be embarrassed, Mom. That's perfectly fine. The empty tomb is the assurance that we serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. How do I know? He's here. He's here. We talked to Him this morning, and this is maybe the most exciting part of it all. He talked to us. He talked to us as the choir gave their presentation. He talked to us as Ernie read the scripture. Christ is among us. It would appear that in the early days of Christendom, that there was a lot of question about this resurrection thing. And so Paul took it upon himself to write to us and to declare the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your trust in God is useless. And we apostles would be all lying about God, for we have said that God sent Christ, that God raised Christ from the earth. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. For there is no if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still under condemnation in your sin. And in that case, all who have died believing in Jesus have perished. And if we have any hope in Christ only for this life, we are most miserable in this world. And here is the divine conjunction. But the fact is that Jesus has been risen from the dead. That he has become the first of the great harvest, or the King James Bible says, he has become the first fruit of those who will be raised to life again. And that is simply called hope. It's called hope that we will be raised to life again. In the pathway of the cross, Ralph Turnbull told a story of a Muslim who said to a Christian, "We Muslims have one thing that you Christians don't have." And Christian replied, "Well, what is this?" "When we go to media," continued the Muslim, "we find a coffin and know that Muhammad lived because his body is in the coffin. But you Christians go to Jerusalem and there is nothing in the tomb." "Thank you," the Christian said. "And what you said is true. But that makes an eternal difference. We find in Jerusalem an empty tomb because our Lord lives as Savior today." Hallelujah. Amen. We never like to see the jam jar empty. We never like to see the coffee pot empty and other things that we can reference this morning. But we are excited. We are joyful. We are overwhelmed with an empty tomb. The resurrection assures us of a living Christ. The resurrection assures us of life. I want to try an idea on you and see what you think of it. This is the idea. When Christ died on the cross, he died for our sins. We together on that? He died for our sins. Our sins were washed away on the cross. But if God had stopped there in his process, what would we be? Where would we be? We'd have our sins forgiven, but we wouldn't be enjoying too much. And we cannot separate the grave from the cross, because the resurrection from the grave gives life, eternal life, as we respond to God's plan. It gave Jesus life. It gave him the resurrection life. It gave him the life that he would live among us for the next 40 days after the resurrection and then be ascended into heaven. The empty tomb gives us life. Jesus showed himself to his apostles to satisfy them of the reality of his resurrection. He appeared to Thomas to convince him. And the scripture records 11 different appearances of Jesus during the 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension. Jesus continues to assure people he is the Christ. A gentleman by the name of R.W. Dale was a preacher in England. And he was spending his time preparing a message for Easter. And he says, as I considered and worked on this message, joy came as a burst of glory, and I shouted, "He's alive! He's alive!" The first realization of the fact that Jesus really is alive. You know, we can talk about it so long and so many times that sometimes it just doesn't penetrate. But when God reveals that truth to us, Jesus is alive and he lives forevermore. He's seated, the scripture says, he's seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And this reality of the resurrection and the life of Christ must be embraced by those who will accept Christ as Savior. And let's be fair to the people that we're talking to Jesus about. Let's be fair to them. Let's tell them right off the top that we believe in a risen Savior. It's not just some mythology. It's not just some liturgy. It's a live Savior. And we believe in the risen Savior. When Jesus rose, and after his resurrection, he went to his disciples. He gave them an assignment. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, we read, "And all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And be assured of this, that I am with you even unto the end of the world." I am with you even to the end of the world. He commissioned them to go out and make the kingdom of this world, hear me now, he commissioned them to go out and make the kingdom of this world the kingdom of our God. Let's sweep our society. Let's be what Christ wants us to be. We've been challenged to undertake that. We've been challenged to go. We as modern disciples are entrusted with the task to continue Christ's ministry in the power of the Spirit. By his power, we can lead people to Jesus, the one in whom all our needs can be met. We are empowered to meet every need through the power of the cross. Meet needs. How do we meet needs? We find somebody who doesn't know Christ. We don't try to become theological. Just tell them how you came to Jesus Christ. Share your story of faith. Tell them how God reached down in his mercy and healed your body and gave you life. I was working in a store that sold floor covering. And I came into the shop one Friday morning and I was alone and walking around and decided I was going to whistle. And I went to Wilson and went, you know, do that for a few times. Something wrong here. It's not working. I got to see the doctor that afternoon, and he hummed and hawed and said, He said, "You've got one of two things. You've either got something stuck in one of the saliva ducts in your cheek, or you have Bell's palsy. He sent me to a specialist, was able to take care of that right that day. That Sunday night in our home church, after our pastor had preached his message and gave an altar call, I came up. And I didn't have to show him because everything was drooping. He prayed for me. And literally Monday morning, I had another doctor's appointment. And when I went in to see the doctor, he examined me and then went out of the dressing room and sat behind his desk. I mean, came down and sat in front of him. And what he told me, I can't tell you because I don't use that vocabulary. But he said, I don't know what happened to you over the weekend, sir, but this Bell palsy is gone. Tell the people your story. Tell the people your testimony. You don't have to look for chapter and verse. You can just say, God did this for me, whatever it is. God did this. And we have a responsibility to meet the needs of the people. Tell them about the woman who had the issue of blood. Tell them how she had one desire as she walked among the crowd following Jesus. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be whole. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be whole. Tell them about the blind man who sat by the wayside, and when he heard the crowd coming, he hollered out, and he disturbed the rest of the crowd. And he went, Jesus! Jesus! Have mercy on me! Jesus came along, touched his eyes, and made him whole. Tell them about the woman at the well. Amazing story. Tell them how a woman who came with all her load, with all her confusion, with all the mess of her life, and Jesus set her free. In fact, he told her the rest of the story. How many know of, I can't think of his name right now, Paul Harvey. Remember hearing him on radio? An amazing man. And if I had time, I'd tell you more about it, but I don't have that time this morning. But tell them of the things that Jesus has done for people, and it's verified. Tell them about Peter and John going to the temple and meeting the man at the temple gate. And I suspect most of us think we can tell this story. He was there begging for alms. And their response to him was very simple. Silver and gold have we none. But such as we have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. There's deliverance, there's freedom, there's power in the name of Jesus. Those who respond to faith, to the Lord in faith, find a comforting presence as they pass through the times of conflict and suffering and sorrow. As we pass through the struggles of life, and we have them, we can't deny it. Nobody can stand up and say, well, I don't have any problems, preacher. I'd say, yeah, you have a problem. You don't believe. You don't believe me. The Gaithers took the words that were being expressed over and over again, and they put it into a song that simply says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I know he holds the future. Because he lives. There's a world around us that either doesn't know that Jesus lives or refuses to accept that Jesus lives, and they won't even entertain the idea that Jesus lives. Let's be the force of God in front of them that they cannot deny Jesus lives. I'm going to ask those that are being baptized if they would go to get ready for this wonderful event. The death of Jesus Christ applied to the sin of men, taking away the sin of men, is because of his suffering. But the empty tomb gives us life. We cannot separate the cross and the tomb, nor would we want to. Jesus is alive. He lives in me. He lives in you. I keep seeing his life in many, many people. And if we can show Jesus, folks, we're doing a good job. Thousands of people have met him since the ascension. Since Jesus ascended into heaven, thousands of people have met him. Now we can face the struggles of life because we have experienced the power of the risen Lord, and we can walk to death in courage. We can walk to death in courage if we know Christ. Have you met him? Have you met Jesus Christ, or is all this foreign to you this morning? Have you met him in a faith relationship? Have you bowed, humbled yourself before him and said, Jesus, take away my sin. Jesus, I don't want your death and resurrection to be for naught. I want it to be reflected in my life. You can experience that this morning, right here in these next few moments. It will be my privilege to pray with and for you and let God perform a miracle on your behalf. Let's bow our heads. Father, in this moment, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak to our hearts and sweep across this auditorium. While God is listening and while God is speaking, I want to ask you this morning, are there those among us that would like to meet Jesus Christ as Savior this morning? If you'd like to do that, just slip up your hand. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. Are there others? Yes. Yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in this most sovereign moment, this divine moment, O God, you have seen those who have indicated by an upright hand they want to meet Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will give them a traumatic meeting. They would understand that Jesus washes away sin. Jesus makes us whole. He makes us a new creation. For this we thank you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. We're going to be singing some songs, and then we will witness a baptism, and we'll sing and shout and dance about. All right?
Let's sing Our God Reigns. Amen.